On this episode, you will learn 5 reasons to have a board of advisors. We dive into what business entities can even use the board of advisor, what tax strategies can be combined or added to the board meeting strategy, and stay tuned at the end where we go over what to do if you're essentially one person, you're alone, you don't have anyone to have quote unquote board. We explain what to do then. As always, if this episode helps you or brings you value, please do me a favor, share it with a friend. Thank you and enjoy the show. Welcome to Build Your Wealth Muscle, a podcast dedicated to helping fitness entrepreneurs build wealth by saving taxes and growing their money. Each episode will break down different strategies in the areas of business, tax, and retirement planning specifically for your coaching business. Disclaimer, the topics covered in this podcast are for educational purposes only. This is not advice for your specific situation. Please consult a qualified financial or tax professional before making any changes to your financial or tax situation. Now here's your host, certified financial planner and tax advisor, Pat Darby. Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to Build Your Wealth Muscle. If you're new to the show, welcome. But there's 2 show formats if you're unfamiliar. There's episodes like today where it's a solo where we're going to go fairly deep into a tax strategy, but we'll go over taxes, finance, cash flow planning, a lot of business consulting topics that I have expertise in. And hopefully you can get tactics to come away from on how to do record keeping for things for the IRS, for your tax strategies, etc. The other type, we bring on a guest, and it could be a colleague of yours running a successful business or going over some of the things that they've had to overcome in their business, or they're people that support your industry. They could be sales, marketing, legal, anything like that where they're helping support your industry as well, the online entrepreneur. So today we're going to get into 5 reasons to have a board of advisors or board of directors. Those terms, I'll essentially use them interchangeably, but just so you're aware, if you are an LLC or sole prop, something like that, you're going to probably use the term, not probably, you're going to use the term board of advisors. If you're incorporated, meaning you have a C corp or an S corp, then you're going to use the term board of directors. And the one differentiation, just in terms of the naming, the one differentiation is if you're an LLC, taxes and S corp, you're still going to use the term board of advisors. It's less important what you call it, but I just wanted to get that out of the way in case you hear people talking about this strategy and you hear board of advisors and board of directors that you don't think it's 2 separate strategies. It's the same tax strategy. It's just the name is technically different depending on your entity structure. So let's talk about 5 reasons that you want to do this. And so essentially, it's what it sounds like. You're meeting to talk about the business. And so I'll get towards the end the details like who you want to invite and the different advantages. But I think you're going to start to see some of those advantages get articulated as we go through like what the 5 reasons are. And I'm going to go through the 5 reasons potentially on the quicker side so that we can dive in a little bit deeper on the procedures and different ways to think about it. So the first reason that you're doing this is tax deductions. There's a lot of tax deductions that we're going to dive into. Actually, let's get into some of them now so it's not confusing for you guys. But the travel to get to the meeting, the lodging, the dining, depending on where you do it, hotels, airfare, rental cars, everything it takes to get you and your board to that meeting is a tax deduction. So obviously, if you're a listener of this podcast, your brain might already be thinking of like ways that you could have a personal experience at the same time and location of your board of advisors. So that's the one thing that I think is going to drive this for most people. The second advantage is asset protection. Depending on your state that you're incorporating, again, this is not legal advice, so speak with a qualified attorney in your area, but doing your annual meeting minutes is going to help you from a legal perspective. Now, again, I'm not a lawyer, but anecdotally from the lawyers I talk to, the challenge you run into in the event of a lawsuit is you have to prove that you are running your business like a real business. So if you are not, you know, that gets into the issues we're always talking about on here with don't commingle your personal funds and your business funds. There's a whole bunch of things like that wouldn't be like a true business wouldn't do that. And so that's all the check marks that lawyers are looking for to try to prove that you're running this thing like a hobby, you know, or something to that effect. But if you're sitting down doing your annual meeting minutes, then you're proving a little more that this is a legit business. You're trying to turn a profit. You're trying to maximize profits. So I'll leave it at that because, again, talk to a lawyer about the different areas of asset protection. Every state's different. This is not legal advice. The third one is increasing your IRS audit protection. So when you're updating your annual meeting minutes, you're having a board of advisors meeting or board of directors meeting, you're ensuring that you are going through like what the record keeping is. So when all the tax strategies that we talk about, there's a record keeping component to it. So inside of the meeting minutes, it's often that you're asking yourself questions like, did you document? And when you added a 401k plan, when you added the accountable plan, when you're doing your conversations about employee reimbursements, things like that, like all the things that you are doing in your business, you're documenting them somewhere. You're not just having verbal conversations with your board or with your team or whatever. You're documenting it somewhere. And on that meeting minutes, that's going to help you in the event of an IRS audit. So number three may not be as important to people, but obviously like the first one, I think gets the most attention. It's like, okay, I can make some tax advantages. The fourth one, you're probably doing this already. It's strategic expertise. Like you're sitting down with people that have skills that potentially are not in your area of genius. So like they might be social media, they might be marketing, they might be tax advisors, legal advisors, real estate advisors. They might be business advisors helping you grow the revenue or exit the business, strategize your exit to a buyer. Those all might be areas that you don't necessarily have the expertise in. You bring them into your board of advisor meeting or your board of director meeting. And so that strategic expertise is helpful. Again, you're documenting this. You have people coming in. Now, you can pay these people. Like that's all up to you and them. You can use this as just a tax strategy, or depending on who you're inviting to this meeting, you may likely have to pay them because their time is valuable. And that's why you're asking them. And four and five are very similar. It's the accountability and reaching your goals. So you can have your board keep you accountable if you have a one-year plan, a five-year plan, a 10-year plan. These are people that, again, especially if you're paying them, they're likely professionals that you respect, that you probably pick them because they're doing something right in their own life or in their own business that they can help keep your feet to the fire to get things done. And so those are the five. So tax deductions, asset protection, audit protection, strategic guidance, expertise, and then accountability. Now let's talk about the details of this and like how would you go about the logistics of it. So the first thing that I said in the beginning, but I want to emphasize it, you can do these. You don't need to have an entity to do this. So if you're sitting there saying, well, I just launched my business and I haven't spent the time and money to become an LLC or an S corp or something like that, that's okay. You can do this as a sole proprietorship. And as if you're unfamiliar, a sole proprietorship is basically everybody who's operating out of their social security number. So if you're a sole prop, you can still do this. The recommended size of the board, 3 to 5, you probably want to make it an odd number in the event that there's something that you are voting on that will make it a little cleaner, that you won't have a tie. Now, how many times you meet is up to you. You can meet at least once a year is recommended because obviously you like talked about some of the five reasons. If you're going to fill out that annual meeting minutes, that obviously you can't do it every other year. You need to do this once a year. So the minimum that you should do is once a year. A lot of times it's popular to do it quarterly. That lines up with your quarterly financials and quarterly strategic goals, things like that, breaking down your goals into 90-day chunks. That makes sense for a lot of people. Now, one of the things that would be like a pro tip on this, you can tie this together with the Augusta rule. Now, I thought I talked about that on a recent episode, But for those who, it might have been episode 90, but essentially the Gusta rule, for those who are unfamiliar, is you get to have, if you own your residence, if you own your home, again, this doesn't unfortunately apply to renters, but if you own your home, you can, if you rent it out for 14 days or less, you don't have to claim that income. It's basically the IRS's version of, they don't want too much paperwork. So like, all right, if you're just renting it out for a few days, less than 15, so 14 or less, then don't tell us about the income. So if you want to really max this thing out, you could tie these board meetings to the Gusta rule. And so you could have 14 meetings, or, you know, probably, 14 is the most, but I mean, most people might do like monthly or something like that. So you'd end up with like 12. But if you wanted to, you could strategically have up to 14 meetings at your home and let the business pay you to run this board meeting. Now, again, there's record keeping to this, and we'll talk about that. So who should the members be? I talked about the people that have the expertise in number four. Again, I said social media, tax, whatnot. But if you don't want to do that, if you're doing this a little more on the tax strategy side, if you have family and friends that you go on vacations with, you go out to dinner with, holidays, etc., if they have expertise in business, or you want to try to have these conversations with them, friends and family are great, because again, the hotel, the flights, if you plan this properly and you have an agenda for all the days, there's no reason you can't take your family to a 4 or 5 day trip where every single day there's an agenda for the board of advisors meeting. Now, you want to record keep that, you want notes, you want to write down what you guys talked about, who was there. If you have a template of your meeting minutes, you want all that filled out. So there's a record of all this in the event that you get audited. But having your friends and family is a win-win if they have the expertise to help you. Again, because you have to justify that. So the question that sometimes comes up is, okay, I want to have my family, I want to have my kids. How old do they need to be? That's relatively subjective, because they have to have the competence, you know, so it'd be pretty hard to argue to an IRS auditor that your 4-year-old was giving you strategic business advice. So I think the rule of common sense would drive this for you. You know, you could easily have teenagers that have an entrepreneurial mindset, and just use your common sense. Same thing with friends. Obviously, you want to have your friends who maybe have a business or have some sort of expertise, but it's on you to document that. There's no rule of thumb. One thing I will say, I'm not a lawyer. I've said that a million times. When it comes to family, if you have an incorporated business, meaning you're truly an S corp or you're truly a C corp, now you are, again, this is not an LLC, tax is an S corp. There are potentially some states that have a minimum requirement of age of 18 to serve as a board of director. And that state might require that if you are an incorporated business. And so that might be confusing, because if you're just sitting there saying, oh, I'm an S corp, my tax preparer or my accountant set that up for me, you would want to know if you're an LLC tax as an S corp. Now, admittedly, I've never seen that get called out, but that's just something to consider if you're not trying to push the envelope. If you don't want to be deep in the gray zone, then you do want to be aware that some states, they have a minimum age requirement for C corps and for S corps, like to serve as a board. They're basically saying the age of majority. So again, that's legal stuff, but talk to someone in your state. But I don't stress that for my clients that are LLCs, taxes, S corps. But again, that's why I say drive with common sense. Don't have a kid on your board if it's pretty obvious they're not adding any value. But if they're at the age, they're helping. If you're dovetailing this with, especially if you have your kids working in the business, you're strengthening your argument because they're doing something. They're involved. So their opinion becomes more valuable than if they're not doing something and then all of a sudden they're showing up on your board of advisors as a paid member. So that is the other thing when we talk to members. Again, if you're trying to get your friends, family involved. If you have family members, obviously we talked before about putting kids on payroll, quote unquote payroll, paying your kids. This is a great way to add more income, because if they're already doing something in your business, you can pay, because the same way you would pay a tax advisor to come to this meeting, you would pay a marketing expert to evaluate your marketing campaigns and come to this meeting, you can pay your kids. You can pay your parents. So this might be a great strategy if your parents are in retirement and they need some supplemental income. They obviously have age and wisdom to share with you. Invite them to the meeting. If it's a destination, you could pay for their flights. So it's a great strategy there. All right. So some of the meeting topics, I'm just going to throw these out there. You probably don't need me for this, but trainings, anything that you want to train people on. Review KPIs, the key performance indicators in your business. Like, you have other people look at what those are, what you set for maybe in the previous meeting. Go over obstacles, problem solving, guidance, business goals. And again, you can make this fun. You can bring food. It's going to be educational. But I think the main takeaway here is you want to dovetail these board of advisor meetings. Now, again, do whatever you want. If your main goal is to just get the strategic guidance and you do this on Zoom, just because really you're just hiring experts to help you, cool. I get it. Like, you're keeping the costs down. But if you're really looking at this to be a win-win in terms of, I'm going to get a lot of good advice from the people I care about, but I also want the tax perks, then really consider like how you're going to get there, how long it's going to be. Have an agenda for every day if you want to have multiple days somewhere so you can write the hotel off each day. But hopefully this is helpful. Again, I would maximize the Augusta rule. So as many times as you can have this meeting at your home, that's going to be a huge tax perk. So go back and listen to episode 90 and you can hear more about that. So hopefully this is helpful. Just wanted to give a quick details of what you need. If you need that meeting template, just DM me. I have one that I give to all my clients of questions you can ask. And so even if you're not going to do a board of advisor meetings with people, if you're an owner of the business, you still want to do, I should have said this in the beginning, but let me take a minute and go over this. So there's amazing tax perks to doing these, filling out your annual meeting minutes, bringing people in, getting their input. Cool. Moving money from your business to the people you love, write off for you, income for them, depending on how their age, maybe write off for them too. Paying your home, tax-free money. So there's a lot that all comes together in this strategy. But if you're like, all right, I don't have that much money to spend, or I don't have that many people, you should still sit down and do this meeting by yourself. Fill out your annual meeting minutes. If you're an S Corp, same thing, because you're writing, you're asking about your accountable plan and you're documenting things. So you still want the asset protection. You still want the IRS audit protection. Obviously, the strategic expertise, you're by yourself, but so you're probably already thinking of these things. But those two are valuable even if you're by yourself. So there's not a lot of perks that you like, again, you're by yourself. You may not have any deductions if you're doing it, but you're documenting the things in your business that are important and helping you from an IRS perspective. So even if you're listening to this, you're like, I don't want tax deductions to just waste money. Maybe you didn't have that much profit, or you don't have anyone that you know or trust. You should still do this. And so if you need that document, the annual meeting minutes template, DM me and I'll send that over to you. You can DM me at the Pat Darby on Instagram. That's where I'm most active. But hopefully it's helpful, guys. As always, reach out if you have questions and have a great day. Thank you for joining us this week on Build Your Wealth Muscle. The links mentioned in this episode are available in the show notes. For video clips and more information on tax and retirement strategies for fitness entrepreneurs, please follow my Instagram at ThePatDarby. If you found value in this episode, please do us a favor and share with a friend. If you tag me, that'd be appreciated also. Lastly, for help implementing any of the topics discussed, please book a call. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you again for listening and have a great day.